Hallelujah. All right, let's open our Bibles today to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to be continuing our study today on the topic of we're kind of wanting to change the world. Not kind of, we are wanting to. Amen. I don't know about you, but the world sometimes gets a little messed up. January, we looked a lot at goal setting, so how we tried to look at some ways, different ways that we can set goals and bring God into our life, of course, and all the decisions that are made, but to how to change ourselves. But once we get changed and we start that process, then God wants us to reach out and to be able to change the world. You know, we live in a lost and dying world. I don't know about you, but I was a part of it at one time. I was a part of that lost and dying world, and I was a very good contributor to it. You know what I'm saying? But when I met Jesus, a lot of things changed. And that helped me then to be what I consider myself now as an agent of change. You know, I'm not a secret agent yet because I do it out in the open. Amen. You know, I don't think Christians should be secret agents. You know, the old joke about, you know, the fact that, you know, some people keep their Christianity so much of a secret that God doesn't even know about it. Have you ever heard that one? Well, you did today. But anyway, you know, so we don't want to mainly draw attention to self, but also we want to make sure that we, as we looked at this month, we've been looking at salt and light and how, you know, we're to be salty and we're to let our light shine. We're the moon, He's the sun, and that we have to let the salt of God's Word get inside of us. And, you know, it was amazing just the different uses of salt as we looked at that, I think, the first week of February. Well, today we're going to look at the topic 11. Leaven to, you know, we may not understand what that is, but it's kind of like yeast, you know. And usually in the scripture, you know, it kind of gets a bad rap because it's dealing about sin. But there's a couple places it has a good connotation. We're going to look at that today. You know, if we're really honest, at any given time, we're either influencing other people or other people are influencing us. That's why people advertise, right? They're trying to influence you. They're trying to influence you to buy their product. So we're all being influenced or influencing somebody else. And, you know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but have you ever wondered what kind of influencer you are? I think it'd be cool just to video ourselves, have somebody come around and video us for a day, follow us around, and really, so we could actually look and see really what we're doing. You know what I mean? It'd be kind of scary, probably. But yet it would help us to maybe see just a few things that's really going on. So I really feel that sometimes the best intentions are laid waste by lack of application. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Jesus said not just to be a hearer of the Word of God, but to be a doer of the Word of God. So we need to step out in faith and actually do what it is that God says in His Word to do. So that's kind of where we're picking this up today in Matthew 13:33. Nice brief little scripture here. Jesus was talking in parables, and parables is what they are. He would use a natural setting or a saying and try to get a spiritual truth to His followers. And really, that's how we can sometimes learn. You know, he used the parable of the sower in the beginning of this chapter. And it's awesome just to compare just how the seed of God's Word goes in and it wants to grow. Well, today we're going to look at the idea how God wants to kind of compare us to leaven. And, you know, this month we're looking at the idea of evangelism and what it is, how we're supposed to reach this world for Christ. Well, 33 says, He spoke another parable to them and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven." Hey, that kind of rhymes. I like that, don't you? So the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leaven. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. We thank You for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage, every stronghold, every demonic thing in our life that tries to get us to look at things wrong. Lord, help us to see as You see so we can do as You do. Right now, I yield to the gift You put in me. I use it for Your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, the kingdom of heaven. You know, we're in the kingdom of heaven if we're a Christian. The kingdom of heaven here is talking about the rule and reign of God. And primarily, to be a believer, we have to accept God's rule and God's reign in our life. That's why Jesus says, "You confess me as Lord." Lord is one of those words that, you know, has a connotation where we submit ourselves to. He's our master. He's the one that we want to follow. So, you know, if we're in the rule and reign of God, we're in God's kingdom. Now, God wants us as believers to populate heaven. Now, one way we do it is through procreation. When babies are born into the church, that's one way. But, you know, they're not really in the church yet until they're born again, right? They have an age of innocence. We won't go into all that today. I don't know why I went down that road. But anyway, the idea of, you know, when we can grow the church that way. But another way is to do evangelism, to be able to reach out, to be able to convert people, to see them come to Christ. And, you know, the old saying that he says that he wants us to populate heaven and plunder hell. There's only two kingdoms on this earth. You'd like to think there's three, but really there's only two. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. We sometimes think there's my kingdom. So I'm in neutral territory, you know what I mean? So I'm not with God or I'm not with the devil, I'm just with me. But that ain't how it works. If you're not with God, you're with the devil. That's just the way it is. You may not be a Satan worshiper or a follower or causing trouble that way, but that's the kingdom that is ruling over your life. Until you're born again. So that's why we need to make sure that we come to Christ and ask Jesus into our heart so that, you know, we can get that situation changed. So that's how we plunder hell, is to bring people out of darkness into his life. Now, Jesus was expanding their thinking. He does that sometimes. You know, sometimes he just, you know, says things and it just, you know, makes them look at things in a different way. And I think that's a good thing to do. Sometimes we get locked into a certain thought pattern and that holds us kind of in bondage sometimes. So that's why we need to look at things from a little different way. So he was expanding their thinking and he was trying to let them see that little things can make a big difference. Little things can make a big difference. You know, sometimes we think that we just have to have, you know, be big and do all these great things to make it happen. You know, the saying that's in the world today is go big or go home, right? In sports, you know, go big or go home. If you're not going to go big, just go home. But see, that's wrong thinking when it comes to the kingdom of God. Because we don't have to be like the world. We're in the world, but yet we don't have to think and do everything like they do. You know, I think that we need to get under the influence. You know, under the influence affects, I don't know about you, I can speak from experience. When I used to get under the influence, it affected the way I talked, the way I walked, and the way I thought when I was under the influence of some other thing. Well, it's like that with Jesus. When we get under his influence, when we get under the influence of Christ, it should change the way we talk, the way we walk, and the way we think and do everything that we do in life. It's that changed life that he's wanting us to do. And the reason why it's beneficial for us, but also we're the best advertising that God has. We're a billboard walking through life for the whole world to see, to look. And if they see what they like, they may want to follow. That's why we need to let our light shine and allow God to manifest in our life so that we can glorify him. So, how could this happen? You know, we get under the influence of God. So what happens then, at first God affects us, and then, I don't know about you, but God then uses us to affect other people. And that's the process. Now we're going to look at leaven. Leaven's another word that we might use, like I said, is yeast. Yeast. And, in you know, I don't know about you, I don't really haven't eaten a flatbread at Subway, but I think one of my kids liked those. But, you know, I liked raised bread as a rule. And flatbread's okay, I think. But, you know, if you don't have any yeast in your dough, you get flatbread. That's just the way it is. You know, it doesn't rise. So what leaven does, it affects that which it gets into and that which it touches. And as I mentioned, leaven is usually talking about sin in the Bible. And Jesus warned, and talking about, you know, the false teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he also talks about it as sin coming into our life. Because if you let sin in your life, it comes in, then it just a little bit, then it starts to take over and affect the whole life. Well, here Jesus is trying to use this in a positive sense of just how something little can affect something big. And that's what leaven does, yeast does. It can go into the situation and start to change it. Here Jesus in the New American Standard, different translation used a different word here, but mine used the word peck. Three pecks. Three pecks of flour is about equal to 3/4 of a bushel, which is about 45 pounds of flour. Now this is based upon my research on the internet. I may not be totally correct, but I'm in the ballpark. Now as a kid, we used to have bushel baskets. And we used to, you know, they were fairly good sized. And, you know, you've probably seen bushels of apples, ones we had that big or a little bigger. And then we used to put corn and we'd carry that around. And, you know, eared corn, of course, weighs less than shelled corn because eared corn has the cob in there. It takes up more room. But, you know, you get a 3/4 of a peck of flour, that's a pretty good pile of flour. 45 pounds. Many of you have probably seen a 50-pound feed sack before. So it's just a little bit smaller than that. Well, this lady had this big pile of flour, and it was made into dough, evidently. And what she did is she just threw a little bit of leaven in there. Now, that little bit of leaven had an effect on the whole situation. Again, based upon my research, which I'm not really a big baker, even though sometimes people have said I look like the Pillsbury Doughboy. I don't know where they're getting that from. But anyway, you know, I don't get that. But anyway, it would take, you know them little packets of yeast? It would take 27 of those packets to affect 45 pounds of flour. Those packets are 1/4 ounce. So based on my education and my multiplying abilities, I came up with 6.75 ounces of yeast could influence 45 pounds of flour. That's amazing. So less than 0.5 pound of yeast, now I know I'm mixing measurements here, probably volume and weight, but just that little bit could have that effect on such a big job. And Jesus was trying to get through to the disciples that there's just you little bunch of guys here, but I'm going to use this little bunch of guys and we're going to affect this whole world with these. And so we need to change the way that we look at things and stop thinking and trying to hide and to think that the task is so large that we can never win them. You know, God knows the ones who's going to be saved. He's all-knowing. We don't. We just have to go, and we have to do. And we need to try to let the leaven in God's Word change us so that it can change. God can use us to change other people. Now, I want to share some characteristics of yeast. Last couple weeks, I shared about salt, and then we talked about light. Now, yeast is one of those things, like I say, you buy it in those packets, you can buy it in the bulk, you know, in different ways of doing it, you know. But one thing about yeast is if you leave it in that little packet, it's dormant. Won't do anything. You can take that packet and throw it in your flour and leave it in the packet, it won't change anything. For that yeast to do its work, you have to open the packet and it has to mix in. I believe God's called us to mix in the world. He's called us to go out and to, you know, we don't need to just hide in here. We don't need to just wait and just think, you know, that, you know, it's just going to happen. But we need to go out to reach a lost and dying world. Because all that power is locked away in that little packet unless it's open. And all the power that God has invested in you or my life is locked away unless we're willing to go out and to do something for Christ. Now, there's a lot of opportunities out there. We just need to be aware of them. Now, God hasn't maybe called us all to maybe stand on the street corner and scream at the top of our lungs, repent or be saved. But He has called us to maybe reach out to our neighbor to be able to show love and to be able to, you know, influence them that way. As I mentioned, we're either being influenced or we're influencing other people. That's why our faith needs to be strong so that we don't allow the things of the world to influence us. And that's why we as parents, you know, we try to get our kids in church. We want them to be influenced. You know, our kids, we ship them off away for hours on a day, don't we? We send them to, we have a nice school system here. I'm not saying we don't, but they're still subject to all the different influencers coming around. We have the internet and we have television. We have all these things and all these influences coming at our kids. That's why I want to make sure that we get the right kind of influence to try to combat that, to let them know how to stand strong. And I commend you, parents, for having your kids in church, not just on Wednesday, but on Sunday, because they need to see you here too. They need to see it's good. If it's good enough for dad or mom, it's good enough for me. Amen? And that's how we start to get, you know, the process and try to help them so they can make the right decisions in what they need to do. You know, the church, you know, sometimes we have been a victim in our thinking because of, you know, the world tries to corner us in this building to say that you can't say this or you can't do that. You know, I tell my kids, you can pray if you want to. They can't stop you from praying. How hard is it to pray? I mean, you don't have to stand up and say, hey, look at me. I'm praying now. Just pray. Just pray. If you want to share what God's done in your life, share what God's done in your life. That's how we start to influence, because we need to influence our communities and our country for God. You know, and I'd like to see, I don't want to go there now. I'm going to say it. I'd like to see our walk line up with our Facebook messages. Amen? I'd like to see our walk line up with them Facebook messages that gets posted. Because, you know, I feel that it's doing a disservice when we post something for Jesus and then we do exact opposite when we go out into the world. Amen. I know we're going to make mistakes every now and then, but I'm just saying, try to use a little sense in some of this stuff. Ask God's grace to come in to change us. You know, I came from a rough construction background. And, you know, was just is what it is. But then when I met Jesus, though, I messed up some. But my goal was not to continually live messing up. I wanted Jesus to take control of my life. So I encourage you, if that's your goal, God can do it. It's easy. God's grace is there for each of us. Because Jesus made us different so that we could make a difference. Now the second thing, after yeast isn't any good if it's just sealed up, is that yeast is quiet but consistent. And this is kind of what we looked at a minute ago. I don't know about you, but if you put yeast in a ball of flour, you don't get the same reaction as if you would if you'd put baking soda in vinegar. Have you ever done that one? Boom! You get all kind of froth and stuff flying around, don't you? Just that reaction there is so dramatic. And so with our thinking, we think, wow, it's got to be flashy. I got to be like that evangelist on TV and be real flashy and all these things. And that's the only way that I'm going to make a difference or in this world. Or maybe we have to, you know, just, go out passing out tracts all the time and doing that. And those things are all good. I'm not demeaning that because that's part of doing it too. But I think sometimes if we're doing it somewhat right, that maybe sometimes we can't really tell anything's happening, but it's happening. Amen. In the sense, if we're sharing love and just being there for our neighbor, maybe taking a meal over to them every now and then to a shut-in, or, you know, and sharing with them, you know, hey, you know, just this and that, and, you know, maybe sharing some things about what God's doing in your life, and just little by little, incrementally making change. You know, let Jesus, you know, be part of the Jesus culture. You know what I'm saying? Let Jesus be part of our culture, where he's just such a matter of part of our culture, we don't mind just saying a little bit about it. This is part of our conversation. You know, that the Lord's doing this, and, you know, praise God for that or whatever. And, you know, and let that just little incremental change start to go out there, and before long, we can overtake it, just like that little yeast goes in that dough, and it starts to make change. You know, I think we need to love people while we live our convictions. That's the thing. You know, the world says you can love us, but we don't want to hear it. And that's their deal. But that don't mean we have to live by that. I live by my convictions. I know what the Bible says to me, and I live that way. And I'm room for correction. If I'm messed up, hey, tell me. I'll check it out. If you're wrong, I won't change. If you're right, I'll change. Just the way it is. You know, but we got to live our convictions. We have to go out and to make it. And that's where that change starts to take place. You know, if we're just faithful to the cause, it's not about just what we do on Sunday. It's what we do every day. And asking God to help us. We're not there yet. I know. Sometimes I think, you know, I may talk about radical things here, living for Jesus every day. You know, I'm not there. I don't want to do that. Well, just ask God to help you want to do that. You know, just for Him to be a part of your life. And you don't have to be a, you know, like I said, get on the street corner or do all these things. It's just a relationship. I don't know about you, but there's certain relationships in my life that have impacted me. You know, when I met my wife, that impacted me. It changed me. And the greatest change was when I met Jesus, that relationship with Him. It impacts me. It changes me. So that's what the relationship is part about. So we don't compare yourself to like a some of those evangelists who, you know, are fire breathing on, you know, just saying rah, 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 this and that and rah, 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 that, you know, and, you know, sometimes you tune them out. Just show love. What is your relationship with Jesus? Let that live out of you. Let people see that so that we can influence them. Think like a missionary. This is the concept of my year for 2015. I went back to the basics of my thinking when I first met Christ. When I first met Christ, you know, and I started to learn about Him, you know, I was involved in a lot of different things in the church, but missions was some of it. You know, I want to think like a missionary. I don't want to think like I've lived here my whole life, but I want to think like a missionary. How would a missionary look at this situation with a fresh set of eyes? And if we see ourselves as a missionary maybe not be one that will go overseas, but one that will maybe see their mission is here in Albia, Iowa, or Monroe County, or the state of Iowa, or the United States, and let it grow from there. But you got to start in Albia, or wherever you live. You know, I've always said, it always amazed me in Bible school. Some of my classmates, they would say, you know, when I go to Africa, or when I go to Europe, I'm going to be a great missionary. But I watched them in the church. They weren't involved. They never helped teach children. They never evangelized. You want me to give you money to go where? Huh? I'm just being real. Why would you want me to give my money so you can go over there and then do what you should be doing here? I didn't have a lot of friends in Bible school. No, I did. I'm kidding. I had plenty. But there's just only a few like that. They just had the wrong concept of what being a Christian is all about. So, and thinking like a missionary, our number one priority for you and I after our relationship with God is that needs to be evangelism. This is what drove me to Christ. As I've always said, finally, I come to the life in my wicked little life I was living. I figured if God's real and the Bible's true, I better be doing that. So when I started doing that, then I would see how important evangelism is. If I believe that I go to heaven because I know Christ, what happens to those who don't know Christ? As far as I'm concerned, then I need to try. Not everybody's going to accept it. I read the book. You know, not everybody's going to accept it. I know that. But far as my relationship with Christ, you know, is that I need to try to share and tell as many as I can, so that we can win them for Christ to bring them out of darkness. Who knows what they might impact? Now, lastly, yeast is never concerned about the size of the task, and this may be what hangs us up sometimes. Is that we, you know, we live and we see so many people that maybe don't want to know Christ, that they just want to do their thing. And, you know, it's just hard to understand. But remember, them 27 little packets of yeast can change around 45 pounds of flour. My simplistic thinking is if we just had a goal every year of winning one or two people to Christ or influencing them in some way. I mean, you don't have to think about everybody. Because if we think about everybody, I used to hunt, and I'd rather eat chicken now than, you know, other things. But anyway, we used to hunt, and when a covey of quail got up, maybe 20, back then there was a lot of quail around. We had a hunting dog. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed watching a dog point and things like that. But when that covey of quail got up, there's like, could be 20 of them. And if you don't pick out one and just shoot, you're not going to hit anything. You got to pick out one. And God may bring some divine appointments in every now and then. He's done that. You know what I mean? Have you ever been somewhere and God just brought somebody across your path? And there it was. You didn't have to do anything, just show up. And those times are great. But sometimes, you know, we have to show a little effort and be able to share a little bit. So maybe pick out one or two people in your life that you'd like to see come to know Christ. Start to pray for them. You know, start to try to share with them a little bit, part of your life. I mean, you may not want to go overboard the first time, put Jesus on your finger and cram him down your throat and end it right there. You know what I mean? We do that sometimes. We put him on our finger and we try to cram him down somebody's throat. They gag. They don't want to hear it no more. So be sensitive in your leading, you know, of what you're sharing. But just have that goal. If we all did that, you know, the world would be a better place and we'd have a greater impact here on this community due to the multiplication of our church size. So start with little. Jesus tried to get his apostles because he was leaving. He was going to go to the cross, die, rise again, but he was going to leave those followers, the ones that he spent time with, behind. And he wanted to get through them the concept of how something little can affect something big. And we just need to look at it from that perspective. You know, because just a little sin can affect us. How much more can the power of God? If we bring that power, God's miracle-saving power, I don't know how it works. I have no clue. It's something that God can only do through the Spirit. But how, when you confess your sins and repent and ask Him to come into your life, that all the burden of sin is just rolled away? I don't understand it, but I know it works. So God will do His part, but He wants us to do our part. So as yeast changes that condition, I believe that we can change the condition. I liked raised bread. I liked that raised life. Now, I did a little bit of more reading on this. You know why yeast, what effect it has on the dough? It's gas. That really burst my bubble. No pun intended. I thought it would be something really cool when I read, how does yeast affect dough? What's the chemical process? It's got to be something great. What it does is the yeast starts attacking the sugars, and then it gives us a carbon dioxide or some sort of gas, and that causes the bread to rise. I'd hate to tell you to go out and be a little gassy, but maybe a little bit of hot air. Is that a little better? But to let, we got to say, and I guess that could tie in with the fact that, you know, sometimes we have to actually say it. You know, in lifestyle evangelism, that's good, and that's what we've been talking about. But sometimes they just think you're a nice person. You know, they have to know that it's because of Jesus. You know, that Jesus is the reason I am what I am. Amen. So, you know, let off that gas a little bit. And let, in a good way. Small beginnings with great growth. That's what we have to see. Let's close.